Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode number 57 of the Playoff Push Podcast. I'm your host, Jack Dobbins, and today I am joined by a very special guest, Yankees legend, Chichi Gonzalez. Let's get it going, man. Welcome to the show.
How you doing, man? I'm pleasure to be here.
I'm all good. Huge fan of yours growing up. I mean, you played MLB ball, first round draft pick, got to have a career in MLB. I mean, you did it all, man.
I did, yes. I was drafted in 2013. Made it through the minor leagues pretty quick. Debuted in 2015, and then played up until 2023. And 25 season, I was grateful enough to be a coach with the Miami Marlins.
Let's start off where it began, right? So, grew up in Florida in Delray Beach, I believe, if that's
Yes.
correct.
Yep.
Went to Oral Roberts, where you are in the Oral Roberts Hall of Fame. How does that feel? Like, how is that for an honor?
It's awesome, man. And it's a pleasure. It's awesome. I got inducted in 2019, I believe. And in the following year or the year after was Jose Trevino. But yeah, it was a great school I went to, got a great education in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Grew a lot closer spiritually to God. And yeah, it set up my career and my faith and my family.
Perfect. Oral Roberts as a school. Sometimes they'll have that March Madness run. Sometimes, they'll be on the map. How was that like as a school? Like, what was it about Oral Roberts that made you choose it?
So in high school, I wanted to commit early, and my coach at that time was I believe a volunteer years past. He saw my potential, and he gave me he told me to check out the school. And at that moment, Rob Walton was the pitching coach, head coach as well at that school, and he had a bunch of credentials. He played for the Padres, was a scout for the Padres,
Ooh.
and yeah, he his son Donnie Walton is still currently playing. I can't
Oh
remember
yeah,
what.
was he on
Yeah,
Seattle?
I believe so. Yeah, he was
I
in
think he was in
Seattle for a
Seattle.
while. I think he ended up with the Mets this season. We crossed paths in spring training. Oh, and then at the very end, he was with Philly, actually.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so yeah, I had a great time at Oral Roberts. It was a D1 school. I was able to go in as a freshman and pretty much compete and play right away. So that was kind of another bargaining why I went there, opposed to having to go to another D1 and kind of sit around until my junior or sophomore year to start playing. I got over there. Rob gave me the ball right away, and that's all it was.
Yeah, your final college season, second in the NCAA in strikeouts, 126. You took that right from there to the Rangers minor league system, named the Rangers minor league pitcher of the year in 2015. How would you describe your come up through the minor leagues?
It was good, man. The Rangers set me up for success. They prepped me. They coached me up. I had a great, staff behind me that, prepared me for that. Opposed to pitching once a week, it was every fifth day from there on out. So, I gave a lot of kudos to them. I enjoyed my time, and they were able to draft me in first round, and as well they. Promoted me pretty quickly through the organization, and from there on out, I pitched 2015, made my debut. I was able to experience the playoffs with them, against Toronto. That's all coming back now, just because they're in the playoffs right now, and the home run of Jose Bautista's popping up as well. But
Oh, goodness.
yeah.
I
So I was
forgot
part of
you were
that
there
team.
for that. How was that in person? Like, how did it look like seeing that?
It was incredible. Like the Rangers already had good turnouts, good fans, but when we were in the playoffs with Toronto in that dome, it's a different world when you're playing baseball inside of a roof stadium, how loud it gets. It's like you feel the vibration from the vocals, from the audio, from the fans. But yeah, that's a great stadium to play with, especially if it's a packed house.
Yeah, because you gotta remember, it's like, in Arlington, like it's the city of Arlington and the surrounding areas. Toronto, it's basically the entirety of Canada against you. So it's like a
Yes.
crazy concept with the ratio of fans.
You know, Canada's probably more known and popular for hockey, but they turn out for those Blue Jays for sure.
They ride and die for, you know, the Jays and the Raptors.
Oh yeah.
So you had your tenure, of course, with the Rangers and so many other teams. You know, Colorado is in there, the Twins, Brewers, Yankees, and then you finished off with Miami, where you ended up, you know, coming back this year. But was there any spot during your playing career where you enjoyed your time the most?
I would say Colorado, man. I really enjoyed Colorado. The fans were great. Front office, coaches. You know, I was able to kind of like really establish my career there. Was able to, you know, go through some bumps and bruises, opposed to like with the with the Rangers. It was kind of, you know, if I had a bad start, I'd get optioned. With Colorado, they definitely put a lot of trust in me, faith in me, and let me work through a lot of things.
I mean, yeah, Colorado, you know, not notoriously a pitcher's park, but I have heard a lot of positive things from, you know, both players and coaches from Colorado that it's just a good environment to play in.
Yeah, they have a motto. It's funny. They say it's not the altitude, it's your attitude.
Ooh.
Yeah, and you know, that's what you go by. You know, you got to go in there fearless like you would anywhere else. But know that you know, pitching there is hard. But you can't just let that take over your competitiveness to perform.
I would say one of your most memorable games of your career, June 5th, 2015. I'm assuming you remember that date pretty well, when you threw a complete game shutout against the absolutely terrifying Kansas City Royals, who would end up winning the World Series that year. Practically every position player was an all-star. What do you remember about that game and that dominant performance over one of the best rosters of the time?
You know, I really remember I honestly didn't remember that was even in the ninth inning. You know, I just got the ball, kept pitching, still kind of like on cloud nine, because it was, I think, I believe my second start of my career. But I literally remember, I think I believe either the first or the second inning, we had, you know, a ground ball down the line that our left fielder threw the guy out at second base. And right then and there kind of like killed the momentum early in the game, and might've had like two strikeouts that whole entire game. So
yeah,
it was a lot of contact. Yeah. A lot of contact. Defense was playing great. I threw a ton of strikes. And I think the night before, our bullpen was pretty spent. So I was happy that I was able to, you know, give all those guys a day off. Yeah. They let me know right after the game. They were like, you know, we were on fumes in the pen. We're so happy that you were able to do that. But yeah, I mean, that team that I had, I was part of that year, was very special. You know, Prince Fielder was one of the guys that I really remember. Great teammate, locker mate. Mike Napoli was on that team. Elvis Andrew, Rougned Odor, Mitch Moreland, like Kobe Lewis, a lot of Ranger legends, man. And, you know, I was very fortunate to be part of that group.
Fun fact, Prince Fielder was actually my 350th follower on Instagram.
Oh, nice.
So that's a, cause I interviewed Jaden. And
oh,
so,
okay,
so
cool.
Prince checked it out. It was pretty fun.
Yeah, yeah.
But some nice names, like you, between Alcides Escobar, Lo Kane, Alex Gordon, and Salvador Perez, you held them to 0 for 13 and only surrendered one base runner, and that was a walk to Lo Kane. I mean, those are some tough hitters, and you were able to shut him down in that game.
Yeah, I mean, I credit Robinson Chirinos a ton on that game. You know, he was a already kind of established guy, veteran guy, made me very confident, a lot of trust in what he was putting down. So, you know, it was awesome that game. It was a special moment. And a lot of my high school teammates actually came out from Florida, drove out there to watch me pitch that game. So it was awesome that I was able to perform so well with them too. Yeah, being there.
That's so cool.
Yeah, it's like a memory that we still share today.
That must be great, you know, just having everyone be there for you. And, of course, you end up throwing a gem.
Yes, it was awesome.
When you look at, like, all those different clubhouses, how does the culture – like, what's something a fan wouldn't know about switching those cultures and seeing it from different teams' perspectives?
Yeah, so I know – like my stint with, I would say the difference, right? So my stint with the Rangers, it was a lot of veterans, right? Guys that have been established, already had their free agent deals, Very few considered rookies, right? Guys under arbitration.
Yeah.
Then my stint with the Rockies, it was a little bit of opposite, right? Like one or two veteran guys, real fresh, real young, but very energetic, right? Like, so we played with a lot of heart, a lot of ambition, a lot of heart, a lot of care. But the comparison is indifferent, right? Like I couldn't compare that locker room of Rangers compared to the Rockies, which both were enjoyable, right? Both had their separate ups and downs, but that's the biggest difference. It's almost like that my little stint with the Yankees, right? It was, you know, those clubhouses are always full of veterans and guys that know what they're doing. You know, the younger clubhouse was like, we're trying to find our way on our routines, opposed to kind of following a veteran to see what they do to make them best, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. When it comes to Colorado, I mean, I'm a Yankee fan, first and foremost. However, I've always had like a little soft spot for the Rockies. What was it like playing with Nato and Story and Chuck Nasty? Like, what were those guys shaping the locker room with?
It was awesome, man. They were all leaders. You know, some vocal, some not. I would say Charlie Blackmon was definitely more vocal than Nolan and Story, but they all had their moments and times of when they needed to speak up, which they did. And, you know, I really enjoy that. And I learned a lot from that. You know, in my whole career, I was kind of like that laid back, quiet guy, speak when I needed to. But, you know, and that's kind of like what I learned from those guys. It wasn't like you had to constantly show hurrah, hurrah, I'm the leader. You know, it was, you know, with time and success, you kind of became that leader, that veteran in the clubhouse.
Great, Gary. I mean, I've loved watching those Rockies teams in like the late 2010s. You know, that was a great era of Rockies ball. Hopefully, they can get back to that soon enough. It's kind of sad where the team is now.
Yeah, it was a tough season this year for them. I think their highlight of their whole season was when they came to Miami and swept us, which was pretty embarrassing. But it was good for us as the Marlins as a team to kind of step back from that and learn that we shouldn't play down to player other teams' competition and always play at ours.
Exactly. Speaking of Miami, that's where you finished your playing career, and this year you headed into a role of a bullpen catcher. There's so much about that. Like, it's such a different role than actually playing the game. What did you learn from that experience?
I learned that, you know, the bullpen catchers are kind of like that backbone of the practice day, right? I spent a lot of time rubbing baseballs, setting up machines, setting up for like that pregame aspect, which was awesome, right? Like, it all kind of fell in my hands, right? And the other guys too, Tanner Garrison's, but you know, I felt privileged to be, you know, kind of like that check-in guy. You know, like they would come up to me and say, you know, everything's good, schedule's running good. So it wasn't only like considered that title, right? Like bullpen catcher. When you hear that, you're just like, oh, this guy just hangs out and catch bullpens.
Yeah.
And I thought that too as well. Like even playing, right? Like bullpen catchers were just there to hang out, help.
That's it. Fungos, like just catch the BP. Pens.
Exactly. But it's a lot more into it. That's how I would describe it. Is just you're kind of like that backbone to the pregame.
Wow. Were you like a Marlin fan growing up? Of course, you know, in that South Florida region.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Huge, huge Florida Marlin fan.
Okay, there we go.
Yeah.
So how did that feel? Like, you know, not only getting to play, but getting to work for the team.
It was awesome, man. It's very special. I'm very grateful for those opportunities of a player when I was there as well as a coach. You know, it's almost you know, our fans are always kind of like, oh, we don't spend money. We don't go for the big free agent, but you know, not necessarily, you don't have to all the time, right? Like we didn't really this year. We went with one guy, Cal Quantrill, great guy, great teammate, great pitcher, great leader. You know, and we had success, right? We had a lot of the young guys step up because they were comfortable. They were communicated, you know, you ain't going anywhere. This is our core. We're going to build stuff around you guys. And they performed, man. They stepped up to their abilities, to their trust, and performed at their highest level, which helped us a lot.
Hey, I mean, you know, the Marlins have more World Series in the last 50 years than the Mets, who are dropping, you know, $300 million a year. So obviously, something's going right in the long run.
Yeah, at the end of the day, it's baseball, man.
Anything's possible.
The underdog can beat the paid out team and vice versa, right? Like, you're always going to take those odds of the team that's paid out to win the ball game. But baseball is so crazy that, just like in that game seven of the Toronto series, it was just, one swing of the bat, boom, game changed,
And Springer did
three
it,
more
and
outs,
that
and
was
that was
that.
it. That's the beauty of baseball, that at any moment, one pitch can change the game.
That's the perfect part. So now that you're, are you advancing from that bullpen catcher role? Are you going more towards a separate coaching career? What are you doing from here on out?
So I'm currently still in communications with the Marlins on seeing what kind of role I could fit into next. If it's not with the big league team, it possibly can be in the minors with our Jupiter Complex.
Okay.
And then, yeah, during the off season, I'm here trying to build my own brand of pitching zone. I'm posting little videos here and there, helping out at local high schools, local travel ball teams, local little leagues. And just trying to teach the game to the youth, just like other players did for me when I was in this area.
Absolutely. My final question is going to be, if you could talk to yourself from when you first got drafted by Texas, whether it be baseball related or not, what would you want to say?
I would definitely say, enjoy that grind, right? Enjoy that struggle. Don't always try to, put it against yourself. As in, why is this happening to me? Why I keep getting optioned? And just kind of try to keep that level head of thinking why this is happening, understand it and move on from it. So you're not kind of stuck in that pity of, oh, why me?
Absolutely. Thank you so much again for hopping on the show. Any final words?
No, man, I just appreciate us finding able to be able to find the time to communicate and talk and get this done. And I wish you nothing but the best in your career and your studies and everything. And hopefully we get to meet again in a different world.
And that's going to do it here, episode 57 of the Playoff Push Podcast. I'm your host, Jack Dobbins, and have a great rest of your day.